some of the biggest churches in town today, they started from splits. When they split, you ask them, where is your covering? But 10 years later, they ask, where is your covering? So let's be truthful. Let's examine his history and church history as it is, from beginning to end. The word covering should refer to Jesus Christ. But the word fellowship applies to the body of Christ. What should be asked is, are you in fellowship? Because fellowship means, brother, I am on equal level with you. Covering means I'm above you. Because I have been at it longer, 10 years, you're younger than me, you're just starting small fry. So what do you mean? You're a big fry? All big churches started small. All big ministries started small. Remember that once upon a time, everyone was dust. So no matter how big we grow, how large we grow, we should never bully people by using the word, you're not covered, or you're not covered, etc. And many times I have young ministries coming out and say, would you cover me? I say, sorry brother, I don't believe in covering. Say, what? What? And they nearly fainted. So when they recover, I say, what we believe is fellowship. So you want the right hand of fellowship. That is more scriptural. See, I have scripture for it. Galatians 2. Talk about the right hand of fellowship. Never talk about, you know, the covering. But it says, the right hand of fellowship. See, the Bible always emphasizes fellowship. Because when we talk about fellowship, we are on equal level. Your call of God, if you started late, doesn't matter. You know, we are all serving in the same body. And so the second emphasis I will emphasize is teamwork. The most important thing, if God calls you, you will not be able to find that 100% of people agree fully with you. You may find that some people agree 50%, some 70%, some 75%, but remember this, keep in fellowship. Even at times when all you feel is a lone ranger, pray, take off your mask and look for Tonto. Pray that there would be one somewhere. And keep in fellowship, keep in touch, even though it is difficult to keep in fellowship. It's not easy, because to be in fellowship, we need to humble ourselves. And so Daniel was not a lone ranger. He doesn't operate alone. He sought his friends. And together the gift can grow forth in their life. Number 3, chapter 2, verse 19, the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. And I guess that when they were praying and seeking God, it would have been very, very easy to pray. You know why? If they didn't get the answer, their heads would be chopped off. That's motivation. How would you pray if you know that tomorrow morning you don't have the answer to your prayer? You're a dead dog. I can assure you there will be nobody sleeping in that overnight prayer. Everybody will be fierce praying. In fact, they will probably be praying and wishing that they had longer time. We have overnight prayers. And I realize that there are different people in different overnight. Some are young, some are older, some are experienced, some are less experienced. So the experienced one will enjoy themselves praying in one corner in the semi-darkness. Kura mahabali gibriyama. And the younger ones will be praying. Habarabarabaraba. Look at the time. Habarabarabaraba. Look at the time. And sometimes I pray as I walk around. I stand near the entrance to the toilet and I see all the young ones keep going in and out. Say, what are you doing? Oh, they are washing their faces. By the morning, they wash their face about 100 times. It was very clean. So here is one time, if they don't have the answer to prayer, they are dead. They have to get the answer. And they really prayed. And I wish that Christians had the same kind of urgency. Sometimes we pray like if God never answer, never mind. You hear people's prayer, the way they pray and the way they see God, if God never answer, never mind. Such kind of prayer has no zeal, no urgency, no sort of a faith in God. It was more ceremony. So when we pray in such a way, and we say, God, we have to have the answer. There were many times in my life, in the early days of ministry, now I got to know God, now I walk more with God, I can hear Him much more clearer than the early days. And in the early days of ministry, it's not easy to hear God. Not easy to hear God's voice. I had to learn all these things. And I remember, there were many times I came to God. And I knelt down and I prayed. I said, God, I'm not moving from this place until I hear from You. And guess what? I didn't hear for a long time. I remember one time when I was in seminary, and I always go down to the beach to pray. I sat on one of those rocks there, behind the huge boulders. Sat on one of those rocks and prayed. I said, God, I must hear from You. God, I must hear from You. Prayed and prayed and prayed. I didn't hear anything. And I prayed on. I said, God, I'm not leaving this rock until I hear from You. I don't know God purposely allow it or what to test my faith. But as I waited and as I prayed, a storm cloud came. What kind of answer is this, O Lord? Naturally, you go to shelter. But I had told God, I don't want to leave until I hear from Him. And I kept my word. I said, God, I'm not leaving. Storm or no storm. And God let me soak till I was wet. In the rain, heavy rain, I must have looked like a peculiar cook on a piece of rock. And there I was praying. People was wondering, who is this madman? Raining, why don't he go to the shelter? I'm sure some religious Christian guy could come and say, brother, don't you know you can pray in the house? But I had already given my word. I said, God, I'm not moving from this rock till I hear from You. And I stayed true. And I prayed. The rain went on for 1.5 hours. After I was soaking wet, I said, well, God, how about it? That was when I felt a still small voice. And the only word I heard, but it satisfied me, was, son, have patience. I was satisfied. At least I heard something. Then I went back. And I don't know why God puts us through all these things to allow us to develop. But that's the kind of desperation we need to have when we seek God. We really seek and pray for God. Not to say that we want to twist the arm of God. There's no possible way. In the first place, your biggest hand grabs cannot even grab one of His cells, if He ever has any cells. Don't talk about arm twisting. You can't even get near. Because remember, His hands are like lightning. You, no way. But there is a sincerity and what I call a demonstration of hunger in God. So in their desperate situation when they prayed, and look at their prayer in verse 18. It was so that they may not perish. They were beseeching the mercy of God. That they may not perish. And that night in verse 19, the secret was revealed to Daniel. And Daniel, that's the next thing he did. The third thing, after he received a manifestation of the gift, Daniel gave God the glory. See, when we pray and the gift operates and we stop giving God the glory, the gift stops operating as strong. Every gift of God is not to glorify man, but to glorify God. Which is why I don't like to have advertisements or people advertise this, when I read some advertisement or other men of God or even of myself, I never like people. Sometimes when they give me the proofreading to read, I cancel a lot of things. They try to put great man of God, great teacher, I cancel the word great. And all these things. And sometimes, if I don't have a chance to proofread, it gets there before I have a chance. I'm not happy with it. Because I don't like advertisements like, oh, so-and-so has been to 120 countries, has preached to how many thousands of people. All these are taking credit for what God did. And if I had a chance to proofread all those things would not appear. We just put a teacher of God's word. You can put good teacher, rightly dividing the word, lives of many are blessed, no problem. But if we begin to go into numbers and say, oh, how many thousands have been blessed by our ministry, by our this, by our that, before long you look like our bird taking all the glory. Your eyes grow big and your everything grows big, you want all the glory. God doesn't want us to be owl birds. He wants us to be doves of the Holy Spirit. Eagle birds in Him. He doesn't want us to be creatures of the night. He wants us to be creatures of the wind. So it's important for the gift of God to function. See, we must remember that everything that God does, the main purpose is to glorify Jesus. To lift Him up. And so let's renew. Let's have a fresh new move of God among us younger ministers. We get rid of all those carnal advertisements. It's just following the way of the world. We don't want to follow that kind of way. We want to give as much glory as possible to God. Now I realize there's a balance here. You sometimes have to tell people a bit of what you do to people who are new so that people at least can draw the anointing from you. Yet you don't want to go to the other extreme of advertising to get the glory and claiming credit that belongs to the Holy Ghost. We want to be balanced there. We have to be a more sensitive conscience to all these things. So Daniel, number three, he kept drawing the gift of God because he gave God the glory. Straight away when he got the answer in verse 20, he blessed the name of the Lord. Why do we need to give God the glory? Because when we give God the glory, we keep recognizing that the gift is His. The day we stop recognizing and giving God the glory, we think that the gift is ours. In a sense, it's ours to be faithful to, but the gift came from Him. He is the source of every gift. And He has to give the glory constantly, not just once. Here in chapter 2, we realize when Nebuchadnezzar heard the interpretation, he told Nebuchadnezzar the marvelous interpretation, which we will cover later when we compare the prophecies, so we skip a lot of that. But in verse 46, when Nebuchadnezzar heard the prophecy, look at what King Nebuchadnezzar did. Oh my, I got his name mixed up, okay. Nizi, okay. Verse 46. King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel. Look, he wants to worship Daniel. What did Daniel do? Just sort of let him kiss the toe or something. What did Daniel do? Straight away. Daniel did not sort of accept all this adulation. You look at some of the things that Daniel said in looking over here in his statement to the king. In verse 26, the king said, "Are you able to make known to me what I have seen?" Then Daniel said, in verse 27, he said what the wise man said. He said, "Nobody, the secret which is demanded, wise men, astrologers, magicians, and all these people cannot tell you." But in verse 28, "There is a God in heaven who gives all these things." Daniel acknowledged there is God in front of Nebuchadnezzar.